Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a blessing to be here with you. And before I begin, I would like to thank the church leadership for giving me opportunity to share the word of God with you. And it's such a privilege and honor to stand before you. And I also want to thank to our Lord Jesus Christ who gave this opportunity to get together in his presence. And I pray that may his name be glorified with all we do today. With that, let's turn our hearts and mind to the Word of God and reflect on the Gospel of John. Today, we are going to take a look at one of the most well-known and loved verses in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If you have been around church or Sunday school, you probably know it by heart. It's often called as a golden verse because it's really captured the heart of the gospel and shows us how God's love is deep for all of us. Whether you have been a Christian or you are just starting to explore your faith, I believe that this verse likely touch your heart. Before we dig into John 3:16, it is important to remember the context that why Jesus said this statement. And if we see in the John chapter 3 in the beginning, we can see that Jesus spoke these words during a conversation with Nicodemus. Who was a Nicodemus? He was a Pharisee and member of the Jewish ruling council. And in this encounter, when Jesus had with Nicodemus, Jesus explained the powerful truth about salvation, faith, and the God's incredible love. And at the center of this conversation, when Jesus had with Nicodemus, we can see that is the verse we know so well, like a beacon of hope and redemption. And in the beginning of this chapter 3, we can see that the Nicodemus approach Jesus. If we read the verse 2 of this chapter, John 3, we can see that the Nicodemus approached Jesus and he said, I will read a verse 2 for you from the John chapter 3. You can see on the screen as well. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. And we can see that Jesus responds with something that the Nicodemus does not quite understand. Because what Jesus said here in the verse 3, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And when Jesus said this verse to the Nicodemus, he, thinking in a literal terms, asked, how can someone be born again from their mother? And we can see that he does not grasp the spiritual meanings. And then Jesus clarifies again. If we go to the verse 8, we can see that what Jesus said, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. And then we can see that Jesus said, you hear the wind blows wherever it please. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone the born of spirit. And we can see in this chapter that Nicodemus still didn't fully understand what Jesus was trying to explain him. And here is the thing. Faith is not about figuring everything out. It's about believing and trusting in God. And that's when Jesus was saying the famous word of the John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And through Jesus' death on the cross, those who believe in him are saved from the eternal separation from God. Now we will take a more closer look on this verse, John 3:16. It's very maybe common verse for us, but no, we'll see the more core passage of this verse. And I have divided this verse into the three parts. So the first part of this verse tells the love of God. And then the second part of this verse is the call to believe. And the third part of this verse, the promise of salvation. So three things we can see in this one verse. And I will talk about the first part of this verse, the love of God, when Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." These few words carry so much weight. God's love for us is beyond what we can fully understand. It's not just a warm or fuzzy feeling that, oh, I love him or he loved me. It's a love that stretches beyond our imagination. And it's reached into the every part of our life. It is a love that is relentless, constant, and unconditional. And it is not based how good we are. It is not based how worthy we are. It is simply who God is. Praise God. And my friends, the God love is not passive. It is a love that lead him to the action. And what action he took? He gave his only son to save us. Imagine the pain of the father sending his son to suffer. But that's what God did for us. And the cross is a proof of the depth of the love. A love that took our sins so we could be made right with him. And the best part in this verse, this love, the love of God that we can see in this verse, it's not just for a few select, it is for the whole world. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who you are, what you have done in the past. My friends, God's love reach out you, everyone. And when we think about the God's love, we often turn to the New Testament, but the Old Testament is also full of the example of the God's enduring love for his people. And if we see in the beginning, the first book in the Bible, the Genesis, one of the clearest example we can see of the God love. And because if we read the Genesis chapter 22, we can see that the God asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son Isaac. And then what Abraham did, he obeyed God. He trusted God even though the request must have been heartbreaking. And then what happened? We can read in the Genesis chapter 22, verse 13. I will read for you. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its thorns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Just as Abraham is about to sacrifice Isaac, we can see God stops him and provide a ram as a substitute. This story points us to Jesus. Just as God provided a ram in a place of Isaac, he later provided his own son as a sacrifice for us. And Isaac's near sacrifice foreshadows the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. And we can see that the Abraham's willingness to give his beloved son mirror what God would one day do for the whole world. And today, John 3:16 remind us that the God so loved the world that he gave his only son. My friends, Jesus became the sacrifice that took our place, much like a ram in the Isaac place. And if we see the God's love in the New Testament, if we read the Paul's teaching, Paul reflect this truth of the God's love through all his letters, and it help us to understand the nature of the God's love. And one of the clearest example that we can see in the Paul's letter in the Romans, if we open the Romans letter, chapter 5, verse 8, it's a very clear expression that what God did for us, how much God loved us. And I will read a verse 8 from the Roman chapter 5, where Paul writes, "But God demonstrate his own love for us in this, while we were still sinner, Christ died for us." Here Paul highlights the unconditional nature of the God's love. Just as the John 3:16 we read tells us the God loved the world. In this letter, Romans 5:8, Paul reminds us that the God's love is not based on our merit, on our worthiness. We didn't earn anything. Rather, God loved us while we were still sinners. And this verse, it echoes the sacrificial love that we see in the story of a Jesus crucifixion. My friends, God gave his son for our sake, a love beyond the human comprehension. And this was a first part of the verse. Now we will come to the second part of this verse, the call to believe. Within the God's great love, there is an invitation. If we read this verse, John 3:16, first it tells about the God's love, that how much God loved for the whole world. And then the second thing, second part in this John 3:16 is the call to believe. There is an invitation, an open call for us to believe in Jesus. This invitation is not just for some people, it is for everyone. But believing in Jesus is not about saying you believe or knowing about him, because sometimes believing, we take it very easy. If we just like a Christian, oh, we believe in Jesus, that's enough. No, my friend, it's not enough. The believing in Jesus means it's a deep personal commitment to trust him with our whole life. The believing means it's acknowledging that the Jesus is a God's son, the Savior, and the only way to reconcile with our Heavenly Father. And John 3:16 lays out the two paths before us. If we read this verse, on the one hand, in this verse, there is a promise of eternal life, a life that doesn't end, a life that has full of joy and purpose in God's presence. But on the other hand, in this verse, there is a reality of perishing, being separated from God. And the choice to believe in Jesus is what leads us to the eternal life and away from perishing. Sometimes we know that the believing is not easy. We might struggle with doubts or have questions. Sometimes we struggle with a lot of things in our life. Things are around. We really struggle to believe in Jesus. But my friends, I'm just telling again that the Word of God tells us that faith is not about having all the answer. It's about trusting Jesus, even when we don't fully understand. And this kind of belief and faith God wants us to have on him. And as we believe, as we start believing in God, what happened? God start to work in us through his Spirit, transforming our hearts and mind. And if we read the Old Testament, let's take a story of Moses and the bronze serpent in the Numbers chapter 21st. If we see the book of Numbers chapter 21st, verse 4-9, we can see that the Israelites complaining and rebelling against God. God did everything for them, but what happened? The Israelites were complaining and rebelling against God. And then what happened? They were punished with plague of deadly serpents. And then after, when they were crying out for mercy to God, God tells Moses to make a bronze serpent and lift it up on the pole. And then what God said to them, that everyone who looked up at the serpent in faith was healed and saved from death. And if we read the John chapter 3, the whole chapter, we can see that just before the John 3:16, Jesus referred this story in the verse 14 and 15 in the same chapter. And Jesus said that just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believe in him may have eternal life. In the same way that the Israelites were saved by looking at the bronze serpent, we are saved by looking at Jesus, who was lifted up on the cross for our sins. And the Old Testament consistently shows that how God called his people to trust and believe in his provision for salvation. And if we see the both story of Abraham and Isaac, and if we see the story of Moses, we see the God providing a way for his people. Like the God provided a ram for Isaac, here God provided a bronze serpent for his people. This is the heart of God. The way he provided in the Old Testament, finally he provided Jesus as a way for us to be saved from eternal death. And if we read another verse from the Galatians, Paul also underscores the importance of faith. Sometimes we really undermine that what is the importance of faith. Because if we read the Galatians chapter 2 verse 16, here the Paul say that we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law. This verse shows us that salvation is not something we can earn by following rules or doing good deeds. It's come solely through believing in Jesus, the same message we find in John 3:16. And Paul also stresses the belief in Christ bring transformation, because the believing in God is a first step. Because as we start believing, then what happened? God works in our life through His Spirit, and then transformation begins. And then our life started to change. If we read in another letter, in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, here also Paul really focuses about how the belief in Christ bring transformation. And I will read one verse for you from the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It's written, "Therefore, if anyone in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." Just as Jesus invited us to be born again in John chapter 3, here the man of God, Paul, reminded us that believing in Christ makes us a new creation. And how we become a new creation? We were transformed by the power of God's love and grace. Now we will come to the third part of this verse, the promise of salvation. The first part of this verse, we saw the love of God. The second, we talk about the call to believe. And now, the third part of this verse is the promise of salvation. If we see throughout the history, some people have painted a picture of God as a harsh or ready to condemn God. But when we read John 3:16, it shows us the truth. It tells that Jesus did not came to condemn us. He came to save us. His mission was one of the love, mercy, and reconciliation. And on the cross, Jesus took the weight of the world's sin so that we could be saved and restored with God. And my friend, salvation that Jesus offer is for everyone. It doesn't matter your race, it doesn't matter your background or past mistakes. Today, God's offer for our eternal life through Jesus is open for the everyone who believes and turn to Him. What we have to do, we have to believe and turn to Him. And if we see the Old Testament, the hope of eternal life is rooted in the promises in many passages. We can look over the one passage in Isaiah 53, where we can see the hope of the eternal life that was fulfilled by Jesus in the New Testament. And we can see that the Isaiah 53 is a profound prophecy about the coming Messiah, who would suffer for the sin of his people. And we can read the verse 5 from the chapter 53, the book of Isaiah. I will read for you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The punishment for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. This passage shows us that the promise of salvation through the suffering and the death of the Savior. And it was made long before the Jesus walked on the earth. And the suffering servant that we can see in the Isaiah 53 is a clear picture of Jesus, the one who would bear our sin and give us eternal life through his sacrifice on the cross. And if we see the same concept in the Paul's teaching, if we open the Romans chapter 6, verse 23, we can see that the Paul also mentioned about that what God did for us. And if we read the verse 23, I will read for you. It says, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord." This verse echoes the same John 3:16, where Jesus contrasting perishing with the promise of eternal life. Paul explained that while sin leads to the death, God's gift through Jesus is eternal life. He tells two things. Our sins lead to the death, but what God did, a gift freely given to all who believe. And Paul also emphasized the security of salvation. Like if we believe, we receive the salvation, and then we have an assurance of this salvation that no one can take this salvation from us. And I will read another verse to support this. I will read Romans chapter 8, verse 38 to 39, where we can see that we have an assurance of salvation, that nobody can take this salvation. Nobody can take this joy and peace from us because God is with us. And I will read this verse for you in the Romans chapter 8. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." My friend, this is the ultimate promise of John 3:16. God's love is so powerful that nothing can separate us from once we have believed, once we have received the gift of salvation, no one can take us. This is the assurance we have. No one in this world can give us this assurance. Only God can give us. And as we wrap up, let's reflect on the three main truths in the John 3:16. First, we see the depth of the God love. And I will bring forward the 5 points in front of you that we can took it as a third point, that this passage, this verse, John 3:16, tells us about 5 things. The first, the God's unconditional love. We always hold on this truth. We always have to remember every day, every time, whenever we struggle, whenever we have a doubts, question, we have to remind ourselves the God's unconditional love. God loves us so deeply and so unconditionally. And the second thing that we need to remember, faith is a key. Faith is not about having all answers, my friend. We cannot have all answers. Every day we face new things, new problems. If we want peace in our lives, we just have to trust in God. Let him guide you. And when we start trusting in him, what happened? We started to have peace in our life. And the third thing, the John 3:16, today's sermon remind us, call to action. If you haven't already make it, make the decision to believe in Jesus. And then the fourth thing, this passage today, the sermon remind us to share the gospel. As a believer, it is our responsibility to show the love of Christ with our actions, with our words. Christian life is not about just your own personal life, just to do your own things. But when we become a believer, when we accept Jesus, it comes with a responsibility. We have a responsibility as a follower of Christ to share the gospel with others, to bring peace to the other people. And the final thing for today's sermon, the thing that we need to remind is the assurance of salvation. We need to remind ourselves every day. We need to walk in joy and confidence with the assurance that we are saved through the blood of Jesus. And my friends, if any of you haven't already responded to the God's love, I encourage you to do so. Believe in Jesus and receive the gift of eternal life. Let his love fill your heart and transform your life. My friends, salvation is a gift freely offered, just waiting for us to accept it. And as you go today, don't forget the timeless message of the John 3:16. Keep it in your heart and let it shape your life and share it with others. And as we live our life, live with joy and freedom of knowing Jesus as your Savior. And I want to leave you with this one of the question that we just prior discussed, that do we have a courage and faith like Paul to stand firm and say that nothing can separate us from the love of God? Are we willing to trust God in every situation, no matter what life throws our way? Let this be a question we carry with us as we seek to live out our faith. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the truth of your word that has spoken to our hearts today. Lord, may the seeds planted in our spirit bear fruit in our life, so we can also say like Paul that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Lord, give us strength, give us courage, give us faith, so in every day, in every moment, we can say, same like Paul, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Oh Lord, as we leave this place, go with us, strengthen us, protect us, and help us to live out the message we have heard today. Let your peace, your love, your grace continue to transform our lives. And may we be a light to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.